Well, good morning. Thank you for your obedience and giving of God's tithes and your offerings and propelling the mission here at Peace Chapel. Just want to remind you about the Easter eggs. Make sure that their candy is small enough to fit into an egg. If they're too big, then we have to eat them. Rats. So the minis are really good. The simple to go in there. We can actually put a couple of those in there. So traditionally, suckers don't fit, obviously, unless we bend it, right? But who wants a bent sucker? Okay. Anyway, awesome. So the day we do that is Saturday the 14th. So at 9 a.m. and we'll meet in the fellowship hall and we'll stuff these eggs. It's always a good time. Well, 5 weeks ago, we began a sermon series titled Jesus Over Money. Jesus knew, right? He knew our spiritual lives are connected closely with how we handle money. We must put God on the throne and dethrone our idol of money, possessions. We started off with God owns it all. Knowing that God does own it all, it changes our perspective about life. It changes our perspective about money and our possessions and what's really important. Because God owns it all, we are God's money managers. He's entrusted to us. He's not given to us. He's entrusted us to manage His assets. And because He owns it all, right, our money doesn't belong to us. Back in the New Testament, in Acts, the early church, they felt that many, what they owned was not their own. It was theirs, but they felt like it was everyone's, and so they shared it with everyone in need. And because God owns it all, Scripture says we don't even belong to ourselves. We have been bought with a high price, so we must honor God with our body. Next, we looked at God comes first. God wants our first, and He wants our best of what we have. Then God knows that we are trusting Him for the rest. Can I hear an amen? You see, robbing God is when we don't bring the tithes and the offerings to the church. Tithing is the floor, not the ceiling of giving. You see, God meets our needs when God comes first. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, "Seek first God's kingdom and what God wants, then all your other needs will be met as well." God gives back when God comes first. Jesus said, "Give and you will receive. You will be given much. It will be poured into your lap, more than you can hold. It will spill into your lap." God blesses us when God comes first in our lives. When we tithe, when we are obedient, God says in Malachi 3:10, "Test me in this way. See if I won't open the windows of heaven for you and flood you with blessings." It's much easier to live on 90% of your income inside the will of God than it is to live on 100% of your income outside of the will of God. You see, tithing is an act of obedience. It's not an act of generosity. We looked at God expects generosity. The very essence of the word grace is giving. Are we lacking true joy? To experience greater joy in our lives, we must be generous. First thought last week was this: our generosity is a reflection of Jesus. If we gaze upon Jesus long enough, we'll be givers. And if we give long enough, we'll become like Jesus. You see, that's the goal. It's not to be a good person. It's not to be a model citizen. Those are good things. Our goal in life is to be like Jesus from start to finish. Second point, our generosity is a response to God's grace. Grace is the action. Our giving is the reaction. Giving always follows grace. When you've experienced grace, amazing grace, it makes you want to give. When God's grace touches us, we can't help but respond with generous giving. And lastly, our generosity builds God's kingdom. Giving generously, the only antidote to materialism is giving generously. Abundance, you know, isn't God's provision for me and you to live in luxury. It's His provision for us to help others live. You see, God entrusts us with His money not to build our kingdom on this earth, but to build His kingdom in heaven. God expects generosity from you and from me. I have on my phone a bunch of apps like you do, and some of these apps are connected to rewards. How many know what I'm talking about? All right? I buy something of theirs on my app, and the more points I accumulate, it pays off. So usually on my day off, it's usually Thursdays, and it's my Sabbath, I often find my way to a Starbucks. And I bring a couple of books and my laptop, and I just have some time alone with God. I'm the type of person, I can sit in a noisy location, and it's easy for me to read. If I find myself alone in a quiet place, I will fall asleep. So I order my iced coffee, classic syrup, extra cream, light ice, and then I scan the app to accumulate the points. Boop, right? I get enough points, and I get a free drink or a free bakery item from Starbucks. Now, Starbucks has this perk. If I bring my own cup, which this is what I bring, this is a grande size iced coffee. If I bring this bad boy in, they give me 10 cents off of the total. And you're thinking, 10 cents, that's not very much. It isn't very much, right? Coffee's like $150 now. It's crazy. Coffee's expensive, but 10 cents, you're thinking, okay. But what happens is because I brought my own cup, the points double. All right, little secret, little insider. So I get to redeem my points quicker for something free. And what I usually do is when I get those points on my app, I get their coffee cake warmed up. Melissa knows, right? How many like coffee cake? It's amazing. Everyone likes rewards. I mean, let's just get it out of the table. Everyone does. And companies and apps, they know that about people. In fact, they are counting on it so that they can market to us. Now, there's another app I want to mention real quick. It's called Andy's Custard. Anybody familiar with Andy's? It's life-changing. I don't know. I don't know how to tell you guys. It's life-changing. I had one Friday night with my son, and it'll change your world. But I got an email. I've got $5 off next time I go, right? Now, I'm going to go back, right? Because I've got $5 off. You guys get it. Okay. You look at me like, no, we would never do that. Just about every store, every brand has a rewards system. Download the app, purchase some things of theirs, and accumulate points and get free stuff. You know, places like Chick-fil-A and Dunkin' and Jimmy John's and Culver's and McDonald's, they all have it. Stores like Jewel Osco and Walgreens, you know what I'm talking about. These reward programs are everywhere. And I have even an oil change place that I go to. If you buy five, you get the next one free. And so I'm going to keep going to that because that saves me some cash, right? Everyone likes to be rewarded, for our loyalty and to feel like we're getting a good deal, right? Does God have a rewards program? Do I have to be good enough? Do I have to do enough, to give enough, to serve enough? Is there tiny print with God's rewards where some exclusions apply? I've titled my message in concluding this series, Jesus Over Money, God Rewards. God Rewards. Can I tell you this morning, rewards are God's ideas. They're not ours. It seems wrong to be motivated by a reward, but it's not. If it were wrong, Jesus wouldn't offer it to us as real motivation. Jesus is explaining to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer at the hands of the religious leaders, eventually be killed, and rise again in 3 days. And so Peter takes Jesus aside, and Peter rebukes him. Never, Lord, not on my watch. Basically what he's saying, and Jesus tells Peter these very strong words, get behind me, Satan, right? In other words, you don't get it, Peter. You don't understand what's happening. So this is where we pick up the story. It's in Matthew chapter 16. It'll be on the screen, starting with verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Jesus lays out what the cost of discipleship looks like, the price of being his follower. You see, the costs are to give up our own way, what we want, how we want to do it, to take up his cross and to follow him. If we choose to hang on to our lives and do it our way, we will lose our life. Or we can choose to give up our lives for God and his way, and Scripture says we will find true life. Then Jesus asked that famous question that every one of us must answer. What do we benefit if we gain the whole world but lose our own souls? He who dies with the most toys still dies. What will we gain if we own the whole world but destroy ourselves? What would we give to get back our soul? There is no price. It can't be done. Gain the whole world and lose our eternal life. Jesus tells them that he will reward all people for the good they have done. God rewards his followers. I've said it many times in the last few weeks, but giving is an act of worship, right? God wants our worship, all of our hearts. Jesus said in Matthew 6:21, your heart will be where your treasure is. Your heart will be where your treasure is. I read that as surely as a compass always follows north, your heart will follow your treasure. Our hearts always go where we put God's money, always. Money leads, hearts follow, and see, and God wants your heart. That's why it's the very first commandment is to never have any other gods. God doesn't tolerate rivals. Why? Because God knows that people easily replace God with things and time and people and money and a million other things. Giving is more than just an emotion, right? It's an act of obedience. It's faithfully giving in obedience even when we don't feel like it. Well, what does giving do for you? What does giving do for you, right? Giving jumpstarts your relationship with God. Maybe your relationship with God is kind of in a slump. And to jumpstart your relationship with him is to step out in faith and start giving. Begin to tithe 10% and see what God does. Continue to tithe 10%. Again, the floor, and give an offering for something. Stretch your faith in this area of finances with God. Giving begins to loosen the grip and open your hand up so we can receive the rewards from God. It's seeing the needs around us. The prophet Jeremiah gave a message to King Jehoiakim. He was one of Judah's most evil kings. He was unjust. He was saying that Jehoiakim's father, Josiah, was just and right in all of his dealings. And it says in Jeremiah 22, verse 16, he gave justice, talking about Josiah, he gave justice and help to the poor and needy, and everything went well for him. Isn't that what it means to know me, says the Lord? As we come to know God more and more, we do his will. As we commit to obey God, God's will for our lives will become clear. We'll know his character. We'll know his purposes. And caring for the needs of others flows out of knowing God, and that draws us closer to him. Giving kind of jumpstarts our relationship with him. What else does giving do? Well, giving produces freedom in us. The more things we own, the more they grip us and sets us into orbit around them, when finally, right, like a black hole, they kind of suck us in. Pastor and author A.W. Tozer said it this way, secularism, materialism, and the intrusive presence of things have put out the light in our souls and turned us into generation of zombies. Wow. Giving changes all that. Giving breaks us out of the orbit around our possessions. Instead of being controlled by our things, they lose their grip on us, and we have more freedom to give. Giving produces freedom inside of us. Well, what else does giving do? Well, giving permeates our lives with joy. It fills, infuses, it bathes, it saturates our lives with pure joy. We begin to see the eternal dimension of our giving. It gives us eyes on eternity. Most of us, all of us, we kind of look at the temporary, what we can see in front of us, the now. And God is saying, lift your eyes a little higher into eternity. And that's difficult for us to do. God rewards. God owns it all. He's entrusting you to manage His assets. God comes first. He wants your first and best. He doesn't want your leftovers. Then He knows that He alone sits on the throne of your heart. God expects generosity. He wants you to be like Him, a generous giver. God rewards. If your heart is where your treasure is, if your heart is about God's kingdom, God will reward you. I didn't say it. Jesus did. Scripture is full of verses and promises that God rewards. So one of the ways God rewards is our rewards. God rewards good works. God rewards good works. God rewards you when you do good works or good deeds for others. The Apostle Paul reminded followers of Jesus in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8, remember that the Lord will reward each one of us for the good we do. Remember, don't forget, keep your eye on eternity. The Lord will reward each one of us for the good that we do. God Himself will reward you, each of you, for what you've done. Giving someone a ride to church, helping them fix a car issue, listening to someone pour out their heart over coffee. The list could be endless of ways to do good for others. Doing good works to be seen, to be noticed, to be patted on the back. You see, those aren't the right motivations. Jesus said in Matthew, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is what? Doing. In other words, what you do for others, do it quietly. Do it in secret. Don't broadcast it to others. Give with how it will impact you. And God will reward you because of it. I don't know when, I don't know how He'll do it, but God says He'll do it. The Lord will reward each one of us for the good that we do. Can I just stop for a second? Your good works won't get you into heaven. Your good works won't get you into heaven. Being a good person is great, but it doesn't save you. Faith alone in Jesus Christ. Doing good works often means sacrificing financially to help others. God rewards good works. Secondly, God rewards perseverance. God rewards you when you persevere under persecution. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 22 and 23, people will hate you, shut you out, insult you, and say you are evil because you follow the Son of Man. But when they do, you will be blessed. It sure doesn't feel like it, right? Be full of joy at that time because you have a great reward in heaven. Man. When you face persecution because you follow and love and live for Jesus, Jesus Himself said you will have a great reward in heaven. And I know we live in America, and when we hear the word persecution, we think about people in other countries like Nigeria. Right now, Christians who are being persecuted for their faith today. But our society in America is growing more and more intolerant of those who follow Jesus. those who stand up for the truth found in God's word, the marriage between a husband and a wife, you know, all those things. Christ followers, you see, we shouldn't be surprised when we experience persecution. It says we're going to face it. If you love God, the world will hate you. If the world loves you, do you love God? You will experience persecution. And when you do, Jesus says you have a great reward in heaven. You see, supporting missionaries and other missions organizations financially over and above your tithe that do face persecution, God rewards you for persevering in your giving. God rewards perseverance. God also rewards compassion. God rewards you when you show compassion to the needy. If there's ever a word to describe Jesus, it's compassion. It's compassion. He had compassion on those who were hurting and rejected and overlooked and abused and forgotten. He was tender toward them. It was more than just a passing pity, but a deep longing and an emotion for these people. It was sincere and it was deep. Jesus said in Luke chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, when you give a feast, when you give a party, invite the poor, the paralyzed, the lame, and the blind. They cannot pay you back. God will bless you and reward you when His people rise from death. Show compassion even when they cannot pay you back, and God will not only bless you, He will reward you. Can I just stop? Everyone wants rewards. Show compassion without expecting anything in return. Showing compassion often involves our checkbook, but it's not limited to that, of course. God rewards compassion. God rewards kindness. God rewards us when we even treat our enemies with kindness. Again, Jesus had something to say about rewards in this area in Luke chapter 6, verse 35. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High, for He is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. See, when you show kindness to your enemies, you will be rewarded. And when you do that, Jesus says you are acting as God's kids. The world says to hate your enemies. Repay evil for evil. Get back. Revenge. But God says to love them and be kind to them. God will reward you. Do you see how that's countercultural? Do you see how the gospel, some embrace it because, man, they need it, and others are like, no way. Jesus is also keeping track of our smallest acts of kindness. Matthew 10:42, and if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. There's always a cost when you show kindness to your enemy, but do it anyway and see what God does in your life. God rewards kindness. And lastly, God rewards generosity. God rewards you when you give generously. A rich young man came to Jesus asking what he should do for eternal life. And Jesus tells him to obey the commandments. And this young, rich young guy said, hey, you know what? I do. I do follow the commandments. And this was Jesus' response in Matthew 19:21. Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, sell what you own, give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then follow me. That's a big gulp right there, right? It says the young man went away sad because he was very rich. In other words, money and possessions sat on the throne of his heart. And he thought that his behavior, his goodness, gave him access to heaven. But God does reward generously. Proverbs 11:25. I've got a lot of scripture today. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. It's in here. It's in here. You can go to the bank on that. Generously, generosity will be rewarded. The generous person will be enriched, or they will prosper. It's a matter of the heart. Your treasure will be where your heart is. God rewards generosity. So Jesus over money, as we wind down this morning, our spiritual lives, again, are connected very closely with how we handle money. Jesus knew that people wouldn't serve God unless they dethroned the idol of money and possessions and put God in its place. God rewards. As we can see from Scripture, God is a giver and gives rewards. God doesn't want something from you, but something for you. Let me say that again. God doesn't want something from you. He wants us to give cheerfully. He wants something for you. When you give that 10%, for example, God is saying, okay, I've got blessings for you. When you show kindness and compassion and generosity to help and meet needs, God is, okay, I'm ready to reward. I have something for you. As we trust God with our money, with our finances, as we make Jesus over money in our lives and family, God rewards. God is keeping a record of all we do for Him, including our giving. Malachi 3:16 says this, a scroll of remembrance was written in His presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored His name. When we tithe and give offerings, we fear the Lord and we honor His name. We're doing that out of obedience, out of sacrifice. Scrolls are meant to be read. And I like what Randy Alcorn said about giving. Because we give, eternity will be different for others and for us. Because we give, eternity will be different for others and for us. Our giving has eternal significance. Giving doesn't buy us, you know, our way into heaven. That is only through Jesus Christ. Giving puts God on the throne of our hearts and not money. So tithes and offerings and giving and generosity will impact other people who will be in heaven because you gave. Remember the old song, Ray Bolt's, thank you for giving to the Lord. I was a life that was changed. I believe there'll be people in heaven that you'll see that you didn't know are there because you gave. Ben and Kathleen Struss, missionaries to Indonesia, because we have a small part in supporting them, if you're giving to missions, you're giving, you will see people in heaven because you gave. That's how it works. Thank you for giving to the Lord. Giving financially to Peace Chapel, giving to the missionaries, all helps the gospel of Jesus to go out and find the lost. Jesus over money begins with understanding God owns it all. Together, let's affirm God's ownership and everything entrusted to us. Can we do that as a church? Giving our first and our best means God comes first in our finances. Let's set aside the 10%, which is the floor, as holy and belonging only to God, and let's bring it to Him. Out of the remaining treasures that we have, that God entrusts to us, let's be generous because God expects generosity to be like Him. Let's commit sacrificially. Let's commit obediently and faithfully and know that God rewards. God rewards. Jesus over money. Let's pray.